Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we come to you just thanking you and glorifying you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Lord, we just ask that you be with us here in this meeting today, that everything that's said and done is done to your liking and to your, just give us the wisdom that we need to have here today, Lord. Lord, we just continue to praise and glorify you for all that you do. We ask all this in our most precious holy name. Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Nall, do we have any additions or corrections to the public agenda?
Yes, sir. We're going to add to the agenda the adoption of a resolution authorizing the designation of a resident agent for the county.
All right, we'll add that at the 415 slot below road name resolution. Anything else?
No, sir.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Motion second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved as written. Everybody got a copy of the minutes from the last meeting. Are there any questions, corrections, or concerns on the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion, we have a second?
Second.
Motion and second, question on the motion. All those in favor of approving say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved as written. We have a couple of proclamations to issue today. First off, we have the Constitution Week proclamation that reads as follows. Constitution Week proclamation, whereas September 17th through the 23rd, 2015 marks the 228th anniversary of the drafting Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is fitting and proper to accord official recognition to this magnificent document and its memorable anniversary, and to the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate the occasion, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States of America designating September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week, now therefore we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim the week of September 17th through the 23rd, 2015 as Constitution Week, and ask our citizens to reaffirm the ideals the framers of the Constitution had in 1787 by vigilantly protecting the freedoms guaranteed to us through this guardian of our liberties, remembering that lost rights never be regained. Signed, Commissioners Heimball, Tichnell, and myself, and Beverly Beard will be accepting this proclamation on
No. I didn't come to talk.
Okay.
I didn't get a piece of paper.
All right.
I'll get one more closer.
Thank you very much.
If I ever come to talk, you'll know.
Okay. All right. All right, and the second proclamation is for Economic Development Week. Proclamation, whereas the Garrett County Department of Economic Development is an active member of the Maryland Economic Development Association, a nonprofit organization established in 1961, whose mission is to enhance the knowledge and skills of its members and to encourage partnerships and networking among those committed to bringing jobs and investment to Maryland, and whereas MEDA members promote the economic well-being of Maryland by working to improve the state's business climate and professionalism of those in the field of economic development, including other professionals with an interest in the economy of Maryland, and through its regular meetings, special programs, and projects, members address diverse issues, and whereas Economic growth and stability of the state affects all regions and jurisdictions of Maryland, and Garrett County is an important component of the state's economic success. Now, therefore, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, hereby proclaim the week of September 28th, the weeks of September 28th through October 4th, 2015, as Economic Development Week in Garrett County, and ask all to join with us to recognize and reaffirm the importance of business development locally and statewide on this 15th day of September 2015. Signed, Commissioners Einbaum, Tichenor, and myself. And I would ask that our economic development team, Cheryl Berry, Cindy Sharon, if you guys would come up and accept this on behalf of our department. And I do want to publicly recognize the work that you all do. Thank you for everything that you do.
Awesome.
All right. Rose between two thorns.
You got that.
Yeah.
I just add that whoever hired them did a great job.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Thank
you very much. Some of you may know we had an event this morning put on by the Chamber, and thank Nicole. Secretary Gill's in attendance, and Alex gave a presentation, and they talked about all the good stuff that was happening in Garrett County economically. And it was so nice to hear how many businesses were recognized as beginning businesses and expanding businesses. And you know, I think the numbers were
67 new, 16 expanding, and two that have hit milestones of 50 years or more.
Yeah. So just in the last year, we're looking at almost between the expanding and new businesses, you know, you're pushing 100. So that's excellent work. And a lot of that is due to our economic development team, certainly at Chamber. So thank you all certainly for that.
Who hit 50 years?
Well, Tressler's Garage actually is 60 years, and then First People's Community Federal Credit Union actually hit 55 years. So, but we started the program only 4 years ago, so we're still catching up on some of those that have already hit the 50 and 75 and 100 year mark.
Okay, next up on the agenda, Garrett County Purchasing Department. Brian, you've got some things for us. Floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I have two agenda items for your consideration today. The first is a contract award. This is for engineering services for Pusley Run Water Treatment Plant Project. This will provide potable water, fire suppression to the Kaiser's Ridge service area that's existing. We did accept proposals on July 28th. We did receive a total of 6 responses. A selection committee comprised of myself and members of the Public Utilities Division reviewed those proposals, and as a result of the evaluation, we developed an evaluation summary. The top three firms, as a result of that evaluation, were Rummel, Klepper, and Kale, Keller Engineers, and Buckhart Horn. Once that shortlist was developed, we opened the cost proposals because we asked for the cost proposals in a separate sealed envelope as part of this overall process. And as a result, it ended up being that the cost proposal from RK&K was, in fact, the lowest cost as well. So based on that and our past working relationship with Rummel, Klepper, and Kale, they worked on the Theraville water system design for us. The recommendation is to award a contract to them. They will be operating out of the Kaiser West Virginia office. The total fee for all engineering services, the four phases of engineering services, is $84,800. The utilities division was asking for inspection, so there's an hourly rate in the contract. At this point, we don't know what that is going to equate to, but it is $60 per hour for the inspection. And any geotechnical services for the plant site is an additional $6,000. So based on that, the design and construction cost for the project, it's being funded by Maryland DBID, the construction and engineering in the amount of $940,786. So the $84,800 will be backed out of that, and the remainder will be construction. Based on the timeline in the RK&K proposal, I mean, they're looking at approximately 190 days to get this thing designed and out to bid, and construction to take place in summer of 2016. Questions for me? I attached an evaluation summary and provided that earlier to you all for review.
There's one question, and I'll direct it at Pat. I just want to confirm, I think what we're saying is this is all being done without any increase in the ad valorem tax on the
correct, right.
People
this
and that services.
This is existing grant money from DPA.
Okay, thank you.
And I would add that we've been working on this for decades, so thank you very much. All right, any other questions? All right, do we have a motion to accept the RFP award?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Question on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next.
Thank you. The next is a contract award. This is for standby mobile generators. The county was a recipient of some funds through MEA and through CDBG for 11 different locations throughout the county, municipalities, fire departments. As a result of Sandy, we received the money. So I did combine these all into one bid and solicited the bids that were due on August 13th. We received a total of 4 responses. After reviewing the bids for compliance with administrative requirements, I went back out to each location, had them evaluate the bids. We're recommending awarding a contract to Weitzel Corporation for location number 1, which is the town of Accident. They're getting a mobile diesel generator in the amount of $42,362. Community Action is getting a standby natural gas generator. The total project cost there is $148,394.25. The Grants for Volunteer Fire Department is getting a natural gas generator, total bid price of $119,331.50. Friendsville Fire Department is getting a propane standby generator in the amount of $44,172. Town of Grantsville is getting a mobile diesel generator in the amount of $49,882. There were 5 other senior housing units in the town of Laughlin Heights that was included in the bid. Unfortunately, the bid prices for those locations were all overbid. So this recommendation is also includes rejecting the bids for those locations. We more than likely will go back out and rebid on their behalf, or I need to talk to Peggy James a little bit further on her options, you know, to make sure that they get the equipment that they need as well. I think it pretty much wraps it up. We hope to get the generators, everything installed, you know, before the snow flies this fall for this winter.
When you say they were overbid, you mean they were over the cost estimate?
Yeah, the budget amount and the CDBG funds and the MEMA money, they weren't over just a few thousand. They were dramatically over. So there is a little bit of excess, well, I should say there's a little. There's a good bit of excess money left from the CAC portion that was allocated to their project. So if we end up rebidding them, I think we'll be okay, but it's going to require a rebid. The lowest bid that we had from Nailers, they were non-responsive because CDBG wanted a bid bond for this project, and Nailers did not submit a bid bond, so I couldn't accept it. So, they're aware of this process now and are more familiar with it, so if we end up rebidding, I feel fairly certain Nailers will rebid. As well as the others. And there was a bid that actually came in late. So opening it back up will probably get a little bit more competitive numbers. Unfortunately, as part of this process, I have to reject them and rebid to move forward.
Yeah, the only thing I would ask is if it gets to the point where it looks like we might lose the money or not be able to use the money, let's make sure we talk about it, even if it means perhaps buying fewer.
Sure.
With the money we have?
Yeah, and in that window...
If you can't find additional money.
Yeah, in this case, we're way ahead of the game instead of getting behind the eight ball. So I think we'll have plenty of time to work that out before the grant funding period expires. Any other questions?
Now, I'll make a general statement, though, because this was brainchild work at Garrett County Municipalities Incorporated, which, if you don't know, for the people in the room may not know what that is. The 8 municipalities in the county came together years ago to create an organization to unite the resources, because none of the towns in the county are big enough to really be able to pool resources and apply for certain grants such as this. but by joining together, it gives collective power to that. It's really a revolutionary idea. It's a brainchild of Dwayne Yoder and Community Action, who also sits on the board of that group. Last week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Maryland Municipal League had its leadership conference out here for the first time ever. Our good friend Spencer Schlossnagel is president of that group. He's the only Garrett County person to ever hold that office, and he's paying forward for us by bringing these types of opportunities here to Garrett County. You know, that was I got to speak with him Friday afternoon, and it's probably a group of, I don't know, 30 or 40 people that were here spending money for several days. And talked to Spencer last night down in Friendsville at their town meeting, and all of those folks left extremely impressed with Garrett County Municipalities, Inc. and the way that our towns work together. And this is just another example of that. Without that group, these areas, I don't care if it's the fire departments or whatever, don't get these generators. And speaking from experience, you know, when something like Sandy comes through and we have to close the elementary school and shut things down because we can't provide them with water because the generators ran dry because you can't get up to feed them, this is a huge benefit to all of our towns. So I thank you for your work on that, and as do all the mayors in the county. So with that, if there are no other questions, do we have a motion to approve the bid award for the generators?
Motion to accept.
I can't skip the collective power thing with the generators. Pretty short. I second.
Okay. All right.
Alex,
motion and second.
That was
brilliant. Yeah, that was good. That was good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next on the agenda is the Garrett County Department of Planning, Land Development, GIS Division. JB,
yeah.
You're on, buddy.
List of new roads. One that was sort of like a reversal request, I had put that before you on December 9th, and the residents there decided that they did not want to name their road. They wanted to make that back into an unnamed driveway and keep their addresses on South Main Street in accident. And the rest of these in tax map 49 are all just new development, new roads. And the last one also a request from the only current resident there, the only one with a current building permit in that area. They requested that their name, their road name, reflect what's in the assessment record, which was the name of the road was North Pass, where the street type was Pass, but they wanted to call it North Pass Trail. So that's what I have.
All right. Any questions for JB? Motion to accept the recommended name changes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Question on motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Kevin, you have something else?
Yes, this is a resolution authorizing the designation of a resident agent for Garrett County, Maryland. Monty Pagenhart was the resident agent, and this is a resolution to authorize me as a county administrator to be the resident agent for the county.
All right. Questions? Motion to accept the resolution.
Second.
Second. Motion is second. Question motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution passes. All right, this time we have some other department agency updates, and we'll start off Garrett County Chamber of Commerce, Nicole and Sarah.
Actually, so we can keep it brief, I'm going to let Sarah do the talking.
All right.
I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. It's technically a 55-page marketing plan, and I'm going to condense it down into what is hopefully 10 minutes. So bear with me. Let me give you guys, this is a copy of the presentation for each of you. Just a shortened version, and I'll give you the whole version as well. So my name is Sarah Duck. I'm the Director of Tourism and Marketing for Garrett County. I work at the Garrett County Chamber of Commerce. We are the official destination marketing organization, so we handle the tourism promotion for the county. This is our annual tourism promotion marketing plans for FY16. FY16 is July 1st through June 30th of 2016. We would be nowhere if we didn't start with that national trends. The U.S. Travel Association is forecasting a 1.6% growth rate in 2015. That's actually down from 1.9% growth forecasted for 2014. Garrett County, after coming off of the highest accommodation sales collections year on record in 2013, saw a 5.4% increase in 2014 lodging collections. The trend continued into 2015, which has seen the highest January, February, April, and May collections on record. And in fact, FY15, which was July 1st, 2014 through June 30th of this year, has seen a 6.7% increase over last year. That's $2.5 million increase in lodging collections. And every month of FY15 has been the highest ever recorded, except for March and June. There's only so much I can do about March, though, but March was closed a little bit early. We didn't have the greatest weather, and we don't have the full numbers for June just yet. Economists and tourism experts are expecting a small uptick in 2015 travelers over 2014. Despite the uncertain nature of the economy, people are still taking vacations. They're trying to travel around their economic concerns. So our goals as a destination marketing organization is to increase accommodation sales 2% from last year's collections, sustain and increase economic impact from tourism, and continue to work to create awareness in our primary markets. Our main markets are Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. We tend to target high household income areas in our major markets, which are some of the highest in the country, that aren't as impacted by economic concerns. We primarily focus on overnight visitors to drive those accommodations collections, get them to buy in restaurants, lodging, and activities. But we also work to get day trippers and regional visitation as well. So how do we do this? We use a number of mediums. Not one medium overweighs another. Print is not entirely dead. So we do a mix of print, TV, online, and billboard to make up our ad plan. As I mentioned before, DC has 7 of the top 10 counties with the highest household incomes in the country. And those include Northern Virginia, Loudoun County, Fairfax County, Arlington, Prince William, Fauquier, and also Howard County, which is a Baltimore suburb. So we tend to try to focus on those counties specifically when we do a lot of our marketing. We do a lot of broad awareness marketing, so people don't ever say to me anymore, I've never heard of Deep Creek Lake in Garrett County because I hate that. So we try to focus on broad mediums, but also focusing when we can on those specific areas. These are some of the print buys that we do. On the side, you'll see some of the ads that we've run. We did reduce our print budget for FY16, so we are going with ads that have proven returns for visitor guide requests and things like that. We do a Southern Living, Johns Hopkins Magazine, the official Maryland Visitor's Guide, the Maryland Fishing Guide, and Bethesda Magazine is a nod to some of those high household income counties that we were talking about before. We also do state co-ops with Oprah Magazine and Rachel Ray Magazine. We do 3 different television initiatives as part of our annual marketing campaign. We are starting the 5th year of our NBC4 TV campaign in Washington, D.C. It's the top-rated station in Washington, D.C. The 4th year of our TV ad flight in on WJZ in Baltimore, and a 2nd year of TV ads on Comcast in Pittsburgh. All 3 flights run September, October, December, January, and May, June. And there are 15 and 30-second commercials just on the cable, or 30-second commercials. And with a lot of them, we get online ads as well. So you're doing TV and you're doing online. And with NBC4, we get a free booth at their NBC4 Health and Fitness Expo, where I get to ask people if they've seen our TV ads so I know if they're working or not.
And there are about 85,000 people that go there.
85,000 people, yeah. So that's where you see some of those. I write down every time someone tells me they've seen our ad, because it's always good to have feedback if people have seen them or not.
Do you have any other ways to monitor the success of a specific ad, like a special number or something that they...
We don't have that right now, but that's part of the reason why we do the online ads, because then you can see how many impressions you get and how many click-through rates, and I'll kind of show that as we get further in.
And some of what we measure too, which she's going to show you, Jim, is we can see spikes in our visitation, and we're able to track how long they're on a page, what pages they're on. We can see exactly, you can almost tell when an ad has run because all of a sudden you get this huge spike. The Google Analytics have helped tremendously in being able to track and measure your performance of your advertising.
I'm going to show two of the spots. This is a summer 15-second commercial that ran this past summer.
The Deep Creek experience is authentic adventure awaiting every member of your family. This summer, celebrate the 90th anniversary of Deep Creek Lake as you take in the stunning views. Log on to visitdeepcreek.com to plan your Deep Creek experience.
And then this is the 30-second fall commercial that's running about now.
The Deep Creek experience is authentic adventure awaiting every member of the family. Come see autumn in all its glory. Unwind while fly fishing. View the stunning fall foliage. Enjoy family adventures, whitewater rafting, hiking, biking, or just having fun. It's the ideal fall vacation getaway. And we're less than a three-hour drive from the Washington, D.C. area. Log on to visitdeepcreek.com to plan your Deep Creek experience.
So those are the commercials, as I mentioned before, the Comcast cable, we only do the 30-second commercials, but we've had a good response with it. We run a WGZ in Baltimore, that is a CBS station. They have over 1 million households that they reach and almost 2.8 million people. And we've definitely seen an increase in the number of people from the Eastern Shore who get tired of being around what they know of Maryland and want to come to the mountains, things like that. So, and we've heard from people who've seen those ads as well. This is the Pittsburgh Comcast cable. We did a targeted buy where we were reaching a large audience of women 35 to 64 with household incomes of 75,000 and above. Women are the primary decision makers when deciding to travel and vacation, so we definitely wanted to reach those women. We bought the top three channels for women, and that was Bravo, TLC, and HGTV. Those are all of the areas that are included in the Pittsburgh Interconnect. Unfortunately, York County is not included in that. So if you were watching cable, you did not happen to see our commercials, but trust me, they are running. We also run the WAMU radio in Washington, D.C. That is one of the top radio stations in Washington, D.C. It's NPR. And they don't do a ton of commercial advertising. They do sponsorships. And these are the right kind of people that we want to reach. It's a mix of female and male. I think it says here 71% have a college degree. 55% earn $100,000 or more. And about 83% own their own house. You also see the breakdown of where these people are living. You see a lot of the zip codes that we talked about earlier for the high household incomes. So Montgomery, Fairfax, Arlington, Alexandria, Loudoun, Prince William. So these are the right kinds of people for what we want to reach. They're outdoorsy, they're active, and they're educated. So we run with them usually throughout the year, spring, summer, fall, and winter. As part of our awareness campaign, trying to reach a lot of people, but also doing it in a very targeted way, we run in a lot of metro stations in DC. DC does not really have billboards per se, but they have a lot of people riding the metro every single day. So we buy pretty strategically in specific metro stations to get people's attention to hear about DC. So we'll buy them in Northern Virginia, where a lot of people have disposable income, and also in DC. I actually keep hearing from the Howard County Tourism Executive Director. She keeps telling me she sees her ads and she wants to know how much they cost. And I don't want to tell her, so I just pretend she's not talking to me. And then people have actually sent me photos of our ads running in the station, so you're reaching a ton of people. We actually bought a floor sticker, which is that top photo. So if anyone's rushing through the metro station looking at their phone, you're going to see that, whether you want to see it or not. And you're going to look over and look and see what is on the floor there. So just different mixes of what we want to run. We're going to do this again in FY16, possibly offering it to our members to see if they want to co-op, if other businesses, Wisp or TaylorMade, whoever it is, wants to buy in as well. We do billboards on buses. Like I said, they don't have a lot of billboards, so this is a moving billboard. We buy 10 buses every year. Five are in DC and Montgomery County, which is on that high household income list, and five are in Northern Virginia, Pentagon, Arlington, Fairfax. We've heard a lot of feedback on Facebook about people seeing these ads, taking photos of the ads and sending them to me, and these are some of the people have seen those.
We do. And isn't it Ocean City now that has started? They saw our buses and now they've.
The director of tours of Ocean City was with the mayor of Ocean City in D.C. and they saw our buses and she asked me how much they were because she wanted to buy some and I just said, I'm not going to tell you. That's the only bad part about doing sometimes advertising is everyone sees it, but then they want to do it too. So if I see Ocean City buses next year, I'm going to be mad. We did actually buy an actual billboard and that was on 95 South in Baltimore near Camden Yards. And it's actually when you're coming towards Howard County, which again, it's one of those high household income areas. So it reaches 572,000 people per week and we bought it for 8 weeks. We ran that 2 years ago, really successful. From that run, we actually heard from the Washington Capitals who saw it and we actually bought ads at the Verizon Center during the Stanley Cup playoffs because he happened to see our billboard. So we went back to that spot this year just because you're reaching so many people. Visit Deep Creek website. That is key to our success because all of our advertising points to our website. People just don't call the way they used to anymore. And so from that, we had a 2.6% increase in visitors in 2014. And so far in 2015, we have had a 35.8% increase in visitors this year alone. So it's definitely working. And actually, the number of people who are typing in visitdeepcreek.com has actually increased. Last year, they increased 5.6%. This year, it's increased an additional 7.6%. So people are definitely seeing our ads, definitely seeing our website, and actually typing in themselves instead of Google searching. These are some of the ads that we've run. We have a variety of ads. Fishing, golf, whitewater rafting, cross-country skiing, all sorts of things. These are some of the online ads that we've run. These are the impressions, how many people you're reaching. These are the click-through rates. The national click-through rate is 5%. As you can see, some of these are really high. The Google AdWords, 66%, reaching 29 million people, and 66% of those are clicking onto our website. So that's a fabulous click-through rate and part of the reason why our website visits are up so high. Facebook advertising. We have run Facebook ads before, but you can boost a post now, which shows up directly in people's news feeds, and we've had a ton of success with it. It's kind of like billboards, but even better, because you can target specific people, specific zip codes, specific lights, specific activities. If I'm doing one for whitewater rafting, I specifically target people, Western PA, West Virginia, Maryland, DC, who want whitewater rafting. And you can see how many people view them, 51,000 people view that post, 396,000 view that post, 1,000 people share this post, which means they're doing my advertising for me by sharing it to their friends. And then you can see how many people clicked on it too, directly back to our website, 3,500 clicks. These are other examples of people when they share our posts. They actually plan their trips right online and I can see when they're sharing them when they plan trips. It's a little stalker-esque, but you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. So some of these you can see, it's that time of year again. And he says, we can go on a Sunday when I have off work. This guy says, I can catch the, I got a ski-itis and call in sick to work. Another one says, sounds fun, count us in. This one was a book of group stay. One says, I'll get pricing info for the group. Another one says, I'd rather go here than New York on the Facebook post. So another one posted it and shared it to the Ohio Valley Ski Club. So you're getting reaching more and more of the right kind of people. These are just some more. This is one lady who asked about coming in April. I got back to her and she wrote, thanks so much. I was able to call today and talk to Tiffany. She helped me out a lot. We found a house interested in trails end. We'll be calling before the weekend to book this trip. Can't wait. We're so excited. So these are just great examples of people actually seeing and actually booking. You know, sometimes marketing is hard. You don't always have that return on investment, and this really allows us to see what kind of impact we're having. So these are just some of the highlights. We obviously do more things than just that, but these are some of the highlights because I'm probably already over my time. But these are the accommodation sales collections. Again, 2014 was the highest year on record, 5.4% increase, 2.1 million. 2015 is 3.3% increase. Highest January, February, April, and May. And again, FY15, 6.7% increase. March and June, I'll get you next year, but every other month has been the highest ever on record, so that's always good. The state sales tax collections, 2014 was a 5.5% increase, FY15 was a 4.5% increase, and the 2 months of FY16 so far have been a 3.6% increase. Garrett County had the highest visitor increase in the state in 2012 and 2013. We beat Allegheny County in 2013. They had just opened Rocky Gap, so that's why they have a huge spike in growth of 11.1%. In 2012, Washington County, we beat them by about 1%. And then you can see our growth rate versus the state of Maryland. 2013, it was 12.9. For the Maryland, it was 4.9. Again, just more tourism growth. We got these from the state of Maryland Office of Tourism. Tourism growth since 2009. Tourism sales tax revenues, 21% increase. Maryland, 15.9% increase. And it goes down the line from there. Emissions and amusement tax collections. We had a 7% increase in FY14. We had a 2.2% increase in FY15. Sometimes that's dependent on weather too. If we have great weather, and this past March wasn't so great, they actually closed a little bit early. We had an 83% increase thus far in 2014 over 2015 over 2014 for visitor guide requests. And again, our website traffic, you can see here, these are the traffic as of yesterday. We had 361,000 people visit. All of last year was 384,000. So we're almost at where we were all of last year. New visits make up 83% of our visitors. Last year, it was 76% of our visitors. So we're definitely reaching new people who have never been here before. And then again, typing in visit decrease. Last year, 17.2% of people were typing it in. This year, it's 24.8%. So definitely good increases for the right kind of people, new people. So that is it. Does anybody have any questions?
Take a breath.
Breathless.
Take
I know,
a breath.
Like, I went away for 10 minutes. Any questions?
You couldn't have talked faster, though. You did.
You need to be a little more enthusiastic about what you're doing.
Yeah, I get a little excited.
You do a great job.
Thank you.
Kayla does a great job.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Keep up the good work.
So do something about March and April.
I mean, March and June this year.
Kind of
like.
June, right? When June or when?
June.
Yeah.
June,
June
and then
right.
March was closed early, so they screwed me. We could have a perfect game.
All right, next up on the agenda, the University of Maryland Extension and Jennifer Bonejuice.
We're not going to talk about the football team, are you?
I'm not even going there. I'm not going there. I'll just fix this. I actually left my slides at home purposely because we just met with you all a couple of months ago. So I put together something else for you, so take one of each and pass it along, especially because Kevin being new, nice to meet you, what we put together is a staff directory, because I know all of you are out in the community meeting up with many of the faculty and staff with the University of Maryland Extension, so I wanted to put this together kind of as a reminder that is, if you're looking for an expert in a particular field, you can look in our little staff directory here and find the person that will be able to help you out. So as a matter of update, just wanted to share with you that we're continuing the work that the University of Maryland Extension does, which is bring research-based information from the university out to the communities to really make differences in the lives of adults and youth in the areas of farm management, food production, financial security, health and nutrition, and a wide variety of other things. And you know that we do that in support of volunteers, many of them, 4-H volunteers, Master Gardener volunteers, our advisory group volunteers as well. But what makes that possible is that three-way cooperative relationship that we have with county government, with the state funders, and with federal funding. But the county portion of that really is our basis. And so I just want to reiterate that over and over, that county piece really is essential. Even though we're University of Maryland Extension, the county base of that, the fact that, you know, you provide our space and a funding source, for some of our programs. We really do appreciate that. So just as a matter of a quick update, the first section of this directory focuses on agriculture and natural resources, and I know many of you know Willie Lance, and you've worked with him on a number of projects, but he still continues to do educational programming out there with local food production and marketing and food safety and pesticide recertifications and all the things that you see him out there doing, as well as his work with High Tunnels at Frostburg Groves, and I'm not sure if you all have been there and experienced that, but that's a great opportunity if you have a chance. And we also collaborate with Cheryl DeBerry, of course, in our office, with Cheryl being based there. It's a really beneficial partnership that we have to have that expertise there so that we can properly and effectively plan programming and address issues in agriculture and natural resources. So we do appreciate that. And then, of course, our Master Gardener program is going very strong. And that was one of the flyers that I gave you, the Horticulture Field Day. The interesting thing that I think gives our organization really a lot of strength is the fact that we can pull from experts throughout our state, because Extension is, of course, statewide in every single county in the state of Maryland, and then also nationally. So whenever we're, you know, bringing in, we can bring in experts from other parts of the state. And you can see in this Horticulture Field Day, we're bringing in someone from the Eastern Shore. And that's the beauty of Extension, is that we have that group of resources nationwide that we can pull on as there are needs in the community. And then also notice, this is just an example of one program, but I wanted to share with you that, you know, we partner with Garrett College on many of these. So it's not that we're out there doing our own thing. We are always collaborating with local agencies that are also somewhat county funded as well. So Willie, as well as Ashley, as well as our 4-H program, and our family consumer science educator partners with Garrett College to offer our programs as part of their continuing ed. So I think that's been a really good partnership that we've been able to develop over the years. I just also included the front page, the Mountaintop Ag News, in this little booklet for you to see that this is just the front cover of one of the newsletters that goes out from our ag department. And then, of course, 4-H is going strong. I'm sure you were at the fair, and that's one of our culminating events for our youth, of course, is the agriculture piece of it and livestock piece. 18 clubs, 338 members, 318 volunteers, so it's going strong and growing by leaps and bounds. Not only, a lot of people think of the traditional program, but we're doing a lot more than that. After school programming in lots of the schools, Accident, Grantsville, Oakland, Route 40, Pittsmiller, and also the 4-H Tech Wizards program in Crawlin, Friendsville, and Mountain Lake Park. And of course, partners there, of course, the Board of Ed, Local Management Board, and the Health Department. So those pieces are really, really important to us to collaborate with all the different agencies throughout the community. And then, as you can see in some of these pictures on the next page, the page that Karen Wood is on the top of, there's some pictures of students that we're utilizing for Frostburg State to mentor some of the younger kids. And so that's a really key piece. We have a pretty large grant that focuses, it's a federal grant that focuses on mentoring. And so that's been pretty vital. And then the picture at the bottom of that page is the Family of the Year for 4-H for the state, and they're from Garrett County, the Perrine family. So I think that says a lot for our program in the county that they were awarded that 4-H Family of the Year. And then, of course, the next page is just another front page. And I know that you're getting the newsletters, so you've probably seen them, but I just wanted to also let you know that we'll have somebody here at the next meeting because it's National 4-H Week in October, the first week of October, which is, again, something that we're really going to focus on promoting 4-H throughout the county, the state, and nationally, of course. The next page is a really vital piece, which is the Maryland 4-H Environmental Education and Camping Center. And if that name sounds different to you, it used to be the Western Maryland 4-H Center. There's been some transition there, and I wanted to really make certain today that I shared that with you, because that management of that facility had been removed from our local office at one point, and the state was kind of managing that, trying applying to for a while from afar, and it's now come back to the Garrett County office. So I just wanted you to be aware of that, that Ann Sherrard is now coordinating that and managing the facility again, which we're very, very happy with that. And you know, as you know, it's a 1,100 acre facility that really does bring in a lot of outside groups. And then finally, our family consumer sciences programs are going really, really strong. Diabetes programming, healthy eating, talking to with your doctor. We've actually gotten back into something that I thought might be a thing of the past, but we've gotten a lot of calls for pressure canning and canning programs, and people are doing it, so we're gonna, you know, we have been offering training. So I just wanted to make certain you were aware of that, because it's just quite interesting to see that, but we're very happy about that, using local produce and so forth. And then finally, our federally funded food supplement nutrition education program keeps growing, $105,000 grant. And many of these spaces that you see in this booklet are outside funded through either grants, and I would not be able to do that without leveraging the state and county dollars, especially the county dollars that you know, we're able to secure. So we're very appreciative of that county support, because it would not enable us to be able to extend and expand our programs the way that we have. So we definitely appreciate that county government support, because it allows us to do what we do, which impacts so many people. And that's why I included the last impact report, so you can really see the numbers and the impact here in the county and beyond. And I think I caught us back up, maybe, because I speak quickly too, so.
Is the Maryland 4-H Environmental Education and Camping Center, is it open just to walk-ins, or is it only, I mean, can anybody, we should have to go swimming with the kids.
Right. There still is the public side, which is the first side when you approach in, where there was somewhat of a small sandy beach.
Yeah.
And then to go back to the camp, it's clearly marked that it's private facility. So yes, it still is open to the public, free of charge, to go there to swim or fish, whatever you might want to do. But it's really only April through October, and then those gates, of course, get closed because of snow. But Mike Brady, he is there full time as the maintenance and supervisory person on site. So yeah, that facility, now that it's back in our hands, you know, we're definitely ready to market it. And you know, the main focus is 4-H groups throughout the state utilizing it, but then we're also looking at other groups to utilize it on the weekends and other times that are open. So
are the cabins only available to groups then? Is it something about a minimum of 30 people?
Yes, yes. But we have a meeting facility there, so if you all wanted to have a, you know, a small retreat, or you know of another agency that would like to do that, you know, we're open to that, because we'd like to utilize it. You know, it's a wonderful place to host, especially if you're bringing in people to see the county. It's definitely rustic, that's for sure, but it's an awesome view and an awesome place to feature Garrett County. So, any questions? So someone will be here at the next meeting for a proclamation for 4-H week, and I've talked with Carol about that, so we appreciate that. Okay.
Thank you. All right, next up, Department of Facilities Maintenance, Junior Upper.
Good afternoon. Since we're running behind, I really don't have anything. So. Just kidding. It's been a while since I gave an update here, but I'll try to be brief. Some of the projects that we've completed, painted the exterior of the airport terminal building, repaired sidewalks, stripped and waxed the floors at the ASCII location, boathouse shingles, we had a lot of them blown off, so we repaired all that. Community Action Building, we've worked with Johnson Controls and Community Action staff updating their HVAC controls to all digital, no air at all, no pneumatics anymore. They changed everything, valves and the whole work. Here at the courthouse, we've painted a lot. done the circuit court offices, jury room, magistrate's office, assessments, replaced the water heater for this section in the rotunda, actually last week, kind of. Replaced the carpet in assessments, tile in the jail entrance, lobby, and hallway. We also installed digital controls on our system here for HVAC, but we did leave the pneumatic vents because they're pretty much foolproof. So we stayed with those. New boilers for the detention area. We had the alley paved. Hopefully someone has noticed. And we've installed a lot of security cameras in the old section, all three floors. For the .com people, sort of for them, I guess, but we've installed antennas at different locations for fiber for between different buildings. We went from the health center to Judy Overlook, if you're familiar with that. I think that was for more for community action to get onto our system somehow, but I don't recall all those details. Landfill office to their maintenance shop. And the airport terminal to two separate hangars at the airport facility. Election board, we've renovated their storage area in the basement, which I know Steve told you that the last time, kind of, that was a pretty good sized project. Health center building, we painted the entire interior of that, started last winter through early spring. Public utilities, we've installed a sidewalk at the Crowland treatment plant, replaced soffit fascia at the Friendsville treatment plant, and painted the exterior doors at the warehouse complex. And we've painted most all of our parking lots this summer. And we've had a tough summer, if nobody knows, of the weather, so we're still kind of playing catch up, trying to get finished up and get ready for winter. A few upcoming things. We have some roof jobs, exit roads, we're replacing that roof, community action, we're doing shingles and shingles here at the old section of the courthouse. Actually, community action started yesterday, hopefully completion in 2 weeks, then they'll move to here, and we're hoping to have accidents completed before. Depending on weather. There again for .com, kind of, we're getting ready to install tag readers at all the landfill locations. And it's my understanding that what that does is from now on you'll get a sticker or whatever that's in your windshield like you have now. But this one will be a permanent one and this reader reads it as you go in or go out. Kitzmiller School, we're repairing the boiler. Currently, that has started, and we're waiting on one more pump. Hopefully, it should be in this week or next. Landfill, we're going to strip and wax that tile. Public utilities, same thing. And we work with purchasing through the energy conservation team, as you know, on the solar projects, and also I'm working with Brian and Community Action on their standby generator that he spoke to you about earlier. Other than that, we do work orders every day, preventive maintenance on all of our equipment, and we most probably work more so regularly with .com, engineering, finance, purchasing, roads, and risk management. But they're fairly regular, at least once a week. And obviously all the other departments, including Jennifer sometimes, some of our other locations. Anyway, that's it. Questions?
Question?
Do you want to ask me how I could stay awake this long, Mr. Hummel?
I'm thinking you're out kind of late, but I wasn't going to say that for all these people.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Just a reminder that our next meeting, which isn't a public meeting, it's informational meetings at Bloomington on the 22nd. Our next regular public meeting will be here on October 5th, followed by our next meeting that will be out in the community on October the 12th at 6 o'clock at Deer Park. Deer Park will be the next community we visit on October the 12th. With that, we come to the conclusion of the public session of the meeting, or the meeting, business meeting, and time for public commentary. Does anybody have any questions or concerns? Yes, ma'am.
Just something to share, not a question or a concern.
All right.
I hope not. I was hoping Nicole and Sarah would still be here. This is a recently released study on park visitors in 5 Appalachian states. I'm sorry, I don't have this stapled for you. A survey of park visitors of their thoughts about if fracking were to be in or near, mostly near parks, an impact. And that was such a overwhelmingly positive presentation on tourism growth in the county. So I think this would be of interest to them. So I will share that, send that to them as well. Wanted you to have that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, also to announce the Appalachian Festival. I believe all of you received individual invitations to that, particularly for Friday's symposium events, and appreciate your participation in that.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
You talked several months ago about the RFP associated with the economic study. I know that there have been some kick around over at the SGAG, the advisory group, and I'm just curious, have we gotten anywhere with that RFP? Do we know what's, we've never put out any type of timeline where we were at with that.
The RFP was drafted, sent to the committee. They looked over it, gave some advisement on it, and Paul, you can jump in here on that. It came back to Brian. He made some modifications based on those recommendations from the committee, scrubbed it up, sent it back over for final editing. Brian now has that, and it should probably go out this week.
The RFP is going to go out this week?
Yes.
This week, early next week.
That was on the consultant part of it?
Yes.
Did we have, was there a monetary associated with that? Did we determine what that consulting was going to be, or were we just putting it out?
Yeah, that's what will come back.
Just an open RFP.
Right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, right on time here. Having heard nothing else, thank you all for attending. Sure, we'll see you either on the 22nd or the first meeting here. We have a motion adjourned.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, guys.
I want to see your eyes on that manure spreader.
Some of the letters we've done, we may have worded a little bit differently or something like the one. But I'm not of the mind that we've got to go get their permission to, or get them to okay what we put in the letter that we're writing.
They okay down whatever when we put it in
there.
So.
That's what I told one of them the other day. I said, well, you had your chance in November.
They come to you.
Kevin got cornered by our little old buddy out there.
He didn't say anything today.
No, I was surprised today.
See who he's aligning himself with, though?
Yeah.
Him and that fit, right? Eric's probably pumping him after every meeting. I'll help you.
Who is it?
Hey, Scott.
No, what his name is.
Do I get reimbursed for bringing my tractor into the Autumn Boys Parade and parade these two of them?
Absolutely.
In my manure spreader.
Absolutely.
I get my own.
Are you going to put them in the manure spreader?
Well, yeah, we're going to spread a lot of stuff.
We ought to load that thing up.
Just find a Robeson and Smokey and just start running on
it. When you go by the reviewing stand, like, to say your name, just flip the switch and let it fly. Yeah. Man, I used to.
A lot of farmers that do have these side discharge, and their biggest ad at the time, we stand behind our spreaders because they're throwing them outside.
So we need to find a, we need to sign the vehicle for the Autumn Glory, or for the fireman's parade, or for the other parade. Maybe we get together, we go to drive all